Figuratively speaking, I seem to be walking on air, with nothing to interfere with my ascension to the bright realm where I expected to find my beloved ones and the Christ of my beliefs and love. I hardly realized my separation from my body before some of my loved ones met me and welcomed me with love and cheer, and told me that they were so happy that I had come over, and that I must not be afraid or doubt that I was then an inhabitant of the spirit world. I could scarcely tell you how happy I was and how the memories of the cares and burdens of my earth life left me, and how I seemed to be in an atmosphere of love and heavenly joy. The meeting with them was more than I had anticipated, and I thought how it had not entered into my mind when on earth to conceive of the beauty and grandeur of the spirit home which Jesus had said he was in heaven preparing for all those who believed in him, and in the great sacrifice and atonement that he had come to earth to make for men and which he did make. But soon, I remembered that my great expectation was to see Jesus, and feel the influence of his love, and also, get into the heaven where the Father was and join with the mighty hosts in singing hallelujahs and songs of thanksgiving. And, the Paget Messages 1917, I then asked my angel loved ones, where Jesus was and when I should enter into the presence of the Father, and receive his benediction of approval as a faithful and obedient child. And then, in a loving way and in a manner to make my disappointment less intense, they told me that Jesus was in the celestial spheres, and the Father, they had never seen, that he was away up in the spheres where no spirit had yet entered, nor had any spirit seen his face or heard his voice, no matter how exalted and developed that spirit might be. That I was mistaken in my beliefs and that it was only by the development of my soul in love, could I possibly ascend to the celestial spheres where the Master was. That belief in the blood washing or in the vicarious atonement would not fit my soul for the celestial spheres and that only the divine love in my soul and the freedom from my erroneous beliefs would enable me to become a possessor of the mansions that Jesus was preparing for those who became in atonement with the Father. That what they told me was the truth, and that sometime Jesus would tell me the same thing, and while I could not go to his home, yet he frequently came to the earth plane and endeavored to help and comfort spirits who had not the soul love that enabled them to become children of the higher spheres. Well, you can imagine my astonishment and disappointment, and how the nakedness of my beliefs appeared to me. And as I thought of the long life that I had given to the cultivation and establishment of these beliefs and expectations in my own mind, and that I had no other knowledge or hope of salvation, I become doubtful of everything that was told me. And my God became no God, and Jesus, as my Savior, became no longer my Savior, but a man who had deceived me during all the long years of my life. And I became resentful and hardened, and refused to believe in anything. For I thought that while on earth I was honest with myself and honest with God, and that when the Bible had been certified to me as God's true revelation, with the certain and only plan of man's salvation, and I had devoutly believed in its plan and endeavored to live the life that entitled me to salvation. Thus, as I say, I thought of these things and the realization of my deception made me rebellious, and I almost hated spirits and God. For a while, I was permitted to indulge in these thoughts without interruption, and then my friends told me that these thoughts were very harmful, and would prevent me from learning the true way to salvation and happiness, and that the 588 longer I indulged in my feelings of resentment and thoughts of having been deceived, the greater would be my stagnation in my progress, and the darker would become my surroundings. Very soon they told me that all things in the spirit world were controlled by the unchangeable laws of God, and that these laws required that I should go to the place that my soul's condition fitted me for, and that they would have to leave me for the time being. And they said further, that all the beliefs in all the world will not determine the place in which a newly arrived spirit will have to find its home, unless those beliefs be true, and that the beliefs that I had and on which I depended for my salvation were not true. Well, I found my place, and with it darkness, in which I remained for a long time, refusing to believe what was told me as to the true way to light and happiness. And, just here, I want to say, that it is not an easy thing to lay aside or get rid of the beliefs of a lifetime on earth, even though the surroundings and disappointment of the spirit show that such beliefs must be false, and that belief, a merely intellectual belief, is a very important factor in determining the temporary destiny of the soul. I have written a long time and I will not relate in detail how I learned the truth and found the light, and was started on my progress to the higher spheres, or how Jesus came to me and showered on me his love, and told me of the things that would be mine, if I would only follow his advice. He said that the great stumbling block to the progress of a spirit in its search for the truth and the mansions in the higher spheres is this erroneous and damning belief in his vicarious atonement, and other such doctrines of men, and which so many spirits who come to the spirit world bring with them. I am now very happy, and am in the fifth sphere, where there are beauty and happiness beyond all conception, and if the opportunity was mine tonight, I would endeavor to give you some faint idea of my home and its surroundings, and of the beautiful spirits who are my associates. Someday, I know this home will be hers, for she will not have the burdens of the beliefs that I had to overcome. And just here, I must say, that as she knows how very dear she is to me, and how much I, who have so much of this great love of the Father in my soul, must love her, she must also know that I could not deceive her for all the world, and knowing this must take my advice and seek for this great love of God, which made such, the Paget Messages 1917, a happy spirit of her Father. Let these old orthodox beliefs as to the plan of salvation leave her, and pray direct to the Father for his love, and she will receive all that is necessary for a great earthly happiness and for a joy unspeakable in the spirit world. I am with her very often in her earthly troubles, and try to help and console her, and sometimes I do succeed a little. She must remember that these trials are only for a moment, and then will leave her forever, and that the love and influence which her Father is throwing around her will never leave her, and that in that moment which mortals dread the most, I mean of death, her Father and other loved ones will be with her and take her in their arms of love, and she will have never a fear or dread as to where she is, for love will be so great that her soul will respond in such a way that all else will be forgotten. So tell my daughter to try to not let her troubles and cares worry her so that she will neglect the presence of the consolation which we try to bring to her. Well, I have written as much as I feel that I am justified in doing, as your time is needed for others as well, but your wife, who is so good, says that I must not fear that I have consumed too much, for she is always interested in the making known to mortals those things that will make them happy on earth and certain of heaven. I should like to say something to my wife, but I see that she is not in condition to receive my message, for she is suffering as I suffered, unconsciously, in the dogmatic beliefs of her church. Oh, if I could only come to her in my appearance of earth and tell her of the errors of her beliefs, and of the truths that have made me free and a true child of the Father, I would do so with the rapidity of light, and with the hope that my love for her would give me. I never loved her on earth, as I do now, and when she comes to the spirit world she will not come a stranger, for a greater love than she has ever conceived of will meet her, and she will know the lover. Tell my daughter to read what I have written to her mother, and even though her mother will not believe, yet some of the things that I have said will find a lodgment in her memory, which will come with her to the spirit world, and help her in her disappointment in not having her expectations realized. And what I have said to you, my daughter, I say to my sons, and urge them to think of these things that are so vital to them as mortals as well as when they become spirits. Sometime, with your permission, I will come again and write to my folks. So thanking you and with my love to all my dear ones, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Reverend Fontaine. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well dear, you are a little tired and I must not write much. The spirit who wrote you was at the home of his son, Mr. Fontaine, as he says, for as you know I was there and I saw him there. He came home with you and I told him to write, for I knew that he was very anxious. He is a very bright spirit and has much of the love in his soul and is anxious that his wife and children should believe what he wrote. What a privilege they have in having such a father to be with them, and give them the influence of his love. If mortals could only understand the great fortune of having a dear one in the spirit land who has the amount of love in his soul that the spirit who wrote you has. Your own true and loving, Helen. July 3, 1917. I am here, Paul. Let me write a few lines, as I desire to say a word about the condition of the man to whom you were talking a short time ago on matters connected with your work and the messages that you are receiving. I mean the Methodist preacher. Dr. Mitchell, as you may judge from his conversation, his mind is open to the reception of the truth, and his beliefs in the dogmas of the Bible teachings are not such as to cause him to be unduly biased, so that if the truth be presented to him with any degree of reasonable force, he will give consideration to the same. Of course, he is an orthodox in the way of believing in the plan of salvation provided by God, as recognized and enunciated by the creeds of the churches. And to him Jesus is God, and his sacrifice and vicarious atonement are truths vital to the salvation of mankind, and that the man who does not believe in these necessary prerequisites cannot possibly become reconciled to God or be at one with him. To him, Jesus is God, and the only Savior of men, and without him, Jesus in this sense, it is not possible for man to escape the great condemnation. Now, while all this is true as regards the preacher's belief, yet he does not believe positively that the man who dies in his sins, as the churchmen term it, will be condemned to a 589, the Paget Messages 1917, separation from God for all eternity. His belief on this question is not fixed, and his love for mankind creates in him a hope that this may not be so, and that some means will be provided by which such an awful condemnation will not be imposed on men. He has in his soul much of the divine love, without having the consciousness that this is a separate and distinct love from the natural love that has been to some extent purified. In fact, he has no conception of any love of God other than the love that was given to men at the time of the creation of the first parents, and which every human being born since that time has received, although it has become defiled by sin and error and the willfulness of man. He believes that man, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, is cleansed of this defilement of the love with which he was endowed, and by the atonement of Jesus is brought into a state of reconciliation with the Father, and no other or different love is necessary for the redemption of the fallen human. That Jesus, by his sacrifice, is all that is required, and when a mortal, by his belief and acceptance of that sacrifice, receives Jesus into his life and nature, he becomes a redeemed child of God. Of course, he cannot fully understand just the method by which this change is brought about. He believes that there is something mysterious connected with the manner in which the resultant condition of goodness and purification and the change of the vile man into an angel, which flows from the sacrifice and acceptance and belief, yet the man is so changed, and the manner thereof is known to God, and it is not necessary for man to understand. This is a path which does not demand knowledge, a mystery of God which need not be inquired into. Only believe on the Lord, Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. I say that this belief is his and is sufficient for him, and in it he rests securely. Well, he is comparatively happy in his belief, and is willing to retain it, for, as he sometimes thinks, if he renounces it, where and unto what shall he go? He can see nothing to take its place, and he is wise not to give it up. For in Jesus is salvation, when Jesus is correctly understood. And as the preacher turns his thoughts to Jesus and sends forth his soul's longings to the Master and what he represents, his soul at times catches a true conception of the very Jesus, although this conception does not agree with and is not the same thing as his intellectual comprehension of the Jesus of the Bible as interpreted by the creeds. 590. I am glad that you had the conversation with him, and I believe that as he listens to the unfoldment of the truths, as contained in the messages, his mind will take on a new and true conception of the truth, and his soul open up to a greater inflowing of the love that will make him at one with the Father, and transform that soul into the very substance of the Father's divinity in love. I would advise you to present these truths to him, for he is an important factor in the work of man's salvation, when it is considered that one soul is of more worth than the whole world. He has the opportunity to show the way to salvation to many souls by the preaching of the truth, and any personal sacrifice which may come to him as a result of learning and believing the truths is not to be considered. While his material happiness on earth is to be considered and not thrown away whenever it is possible to retain it in connection with the teachings of the truth, Yet his soul's happiness and that of many other souls are of more importance than the mere material happiness that arises from ignorance of the truth, or the living in that ignorance. So I say, let him know the truth no matter what the consequences may be, for in the end happiness will come to him, even on earth, as well as in the great eternity. I will not write more now. So, with my love, I will say good night, and God bless you and the preacher, for I am interested in him, and in the future may possibly sustain a closer relation to him than is now possible by reason of his false beliefs and the want of the necessary rapport with him. Your brother in Christ, Paul. Let me say just a word. I am interested in the message that has just been written you more than you may imagine, for I am the mother of the dear boy whom Paul refers to as the preacher, Dr. Mitchell. I know that what Paul has said is true, for during the years that I have been in the spirit world, I have been with my son so very often and, as you may be surprised to know, in contradictory conditions of mind and belief, and also influence that I tried to exercise upon him. When I lived on earth I believed as my son now believes. To me Jesus was God and Savior and the Redeemer of my soul by his blood and sacrifice and vicarious atonement. And when I first entered the spirit world and for some years thereafter, I believed as I did when on earth, and, as a consequence, I visited my son in his study and the Paget Messages 1917, in the churches as he preached, and tried to impress upon him the truth of this belief, and also endeavored to inspire him in his soul as he proclaimed these truths to his hearers. And I was comparatively happy in these beliefs, and so, as I saw, was my son. And I thought that he was doing a great work for the Master, and I often prayed for him and gave thanks to God that I had on earth a boy who was doing so great a work for the salvation of men and the glory of the Father. Now you may wonder that I continued in these beliefs any great while after I entered the spirit world, and infer that I must soon have realized that I was not in the arms of Jesus and singing praises around the throne of God, as our church teachers sometime assured us would be our experience when we passed to spirit life. Well, I will confess that I had that expectation, and was disappointed upon arriving in the spirit world to find no arms of Jesus to receive me, and in not going into the presence of the Father. But I loved Jesus and I loved God, and had in my soul a great deal of the divine love, though then I did not realize just what that love is, and, consequently, after I arrived in the spirit world I found myself in a beautiful plane of light and love, and glorious spirits having homes such as I had not conceived of on earth, even though I had thought of the many mansions that Jesus had spoken of. And I was happy, very happy, and retained my belief that at the proper time I would go to where Jesus was sitting on the right of the Father. I believed, that there was some reason, personal to me, why I was not admitted into his presence and that when he saw that I was fitted in my soul, I would be called to him. I continued to believe in this hope, and prayed to him and rested in the assurance that he had reconciled God to me, and that there was no doubt that at the proper time I would realize the expectations of my belief, and live with Jesus in his home forever. Well, I have not time to tell you how I was awakened from these false beliefs, and learned the truth, that while Jesus was my Savior, yet he was not my God, nor did his sacrifice and vicarious sufferings reconcile the Father to me. I learned what a glorious and loving Spirit Jesus is, the Prince of the celestial heavens and the most beloved of the Father, yet the humblest, for he is still working among the lowly and contrite to show them the way to the Father and immortality. I also learned the great and vital truth that only by the new birth, the flowing of the divine 591, love into the soul of a man or spirit, can he become reconciled to the Father and take upon himself a part of that Father's divinity, an inhabitant of the celestial spheres, where Jesus is now forming the kingdom of heaven in which those only who have taken on the divine nature can possibly live. And here let me tell my son, for I know he will rejoice in the fact, that I am an inhabitant of that celestial kingdom, and know that I am immortal, never to die or to lose the divine essence that is a part of my soul. Well, to hurry. When this great knowledge and transformation came to me, I did not cease to be with my son as he worked for the salvation of souls, but continued with him in a greater love than I had ever before had, and endeavored to impress him and guide his mind in the truth, but oh, How different from heretofore! No more did I rejoice when he preached the sacrifice and blood, but prayed to the Father that my boy might become enlightened in the truth, and that I might be given power to cause him to realize that there was only one way to salvation, and that through the wonderful divine love, and not through the blood. But, alas, I could not reach his mind so that his intellectual beliefs could be changed and a mental knowledge of the truth come to him. But even this I did to some extent, for many times he has had his doubts as to some of the doctrines of his creed or church teachings, not knowing that his mother was working with all her love to make these doubts the way to truth. But these beliefs remained and are his still, and he must not feel hurt at his mother telling him that they are as fragile and of as little tensile strength as the shell of an egg. But this consolation I have, that while I could not work effectively on his mind, I did help his soul to open up to the inflowing of this great love, and to become the possessor of a great deal of it. And sometimes this love dominates his beliefs, and he thinks thoughts and has come to him conceptions of things spiritual that cause him to wonder as to their source. Well, I have intruded upon you too long already, but I love my boy so very much and want him to find the truth as soon as possible and thereby liberate his soul development from the bands that his intellectual beliefs fasten around it. I am thankful for this opportunity to communicate to him and let him know, not only what his mother now knows as facts, but that his mother is with him very often, praying with and for, the Paget Messages 1917, him, and casting around him her mother's love, which has been made so much sweeter and purer by that other love which she now possesses so abundantly. I would like to write further, but I must not, and when I tell you that for a long time I have been waiting for this opportunity to tell my boy all that I have told him, you, I know, will pardon my long writing. With my love to him and the blessings of the Father, I will say, good night. His mother, Mrs. Mitchell. July 7, 1917. I am here, John. Well, I come tonight to write a few lines on your condition and suggest a few thoughts to encourage you in, out of, your despondency. You have been much depressed in the past few days, owing very largely to the fact that you permitted the evil influences to make a rapport with you, which fact is largely due to your not letting the love enter your soul in such quantities as heretofore, for in your imagining, for such I must call them, you became convinced that your material affairs were such as to afford you no hope of relief from the burdens you felt were resting on you. Well, you have these burdens and you do not see in what manner you may be able to meet them, and find relief, and consequently you become negligent of the necessity of seeking and praying more for this love. In other words, the thought came to you that no love or influence from the higher spirits could enable you to find a way out of your difficulties, and you lost faith in the power of the love, and in us, and the result was that your soul became in such a condition that the evil ones could make their rapport, and thus increase your feelings of despondency and want of faith. I know that your disappointment was very real and that you had a difficult task to make yourself believe that we could do you any good or that your condition of soul could determine that another of your problems being relieved from your worries, and as may be said, it was natural for you to feel this way. But if you had taken the advice which we have given you more than once and prayed with all the longings of your soul for the help of the Father, you would not have gotten in such a condition of despondency and could not have given way to the temptations of the flesh and let the influences of the evil ones make a rapport with you and suffered the effects of that rapport. 592. Every time you get in this condition you lose ground in your spiritual development, and also in your state of happiness and the strength of your faith, and experience the hopelessness that comes with such a condition. The material things I know are of great importance and are necessary, and you must obtain them in order to sustain you in your earth life, and the earthly happiness that comes from the freedom of want. And when you could not see where these things were coming from, it was difficult to throw aside the worries that resulted from such a state of anticipated want. But if you had prayed and exercised your faith, such worries would not have dominated you as they did and caused you to ignore the very source from which all things must come. And I say to you now, that you will not be left alone in these matters, for you well realize the things that you desire and need. We are working to bring about the realization of your desires, and we will succeed and you will be taken care of. Yes, I understand, But nevertheless you must try to believe us and endure for a little the disappointment. We cannot accomplish these things at just the time that they may be used, but they will be accomplished in such time as will prevent embarrassment. Yes, I see what your thoughts are, and I say to you that you will soon receive what is necessary to relieve you. So have faith in us and pray for the love in more abundance. Believe that we are with you and will not forsake you, and that all will be well. Try to overcome the worries and let them pass from you. I know that this is difficult to do, but you can do it and will feel the good that will come to you by so doing. I am not the only one who is saying this to you tonight, for many of the spirits who are interested in you are present and are trying to help you, even the Master who is so anxious that you find the relief that you so much desire and get in condition to receive these messages. I will not write more and only say pray and believe. Good night, your brother in Christ, John. I am here, your grandmother. Well, my dear son, it has been some time since I last wrote to you, and I will write a few lines, and although I have not written, I have been with you, loving and sympathizing with you in your troubles and trying to help you. I am so sorry that you have had the experience of the past few days, and knows that you, the Paget Messages 1917, have suffered from the same, and that everything has appeared to you very gloomy and disheartening, and that even now you are worrying about the material conditions that surround you and see no hope for the immediate future. Well, my dear one, what you are experiencing has been the experience of many mortals and will be of many more, for such disappointment belongs to the mortal life. Yet you must remember this, that very few mortals have had the loving close influence of high spirits in their troubles that you have had and are now having, and have had to have their burdens intensified by the evil influences of spirits of the dark planes. So you see, you have been fortunate in this particular and will be in the future, and you must try to believe in the greater faith that such is your fortunate position. We all understand what your worries have been, and we have tried to help you and to remove the causes, but as we have told you before, we are not omnipotent in these material affairs and cannot absolutely control these things, although we have a greater influence than you can conceive of with mortals as regards their actions as the result of these influences. I cannot foretell just what will happen or when, but we know the existence of some and the effects, and we try to make conditions that will bring certain effects. And this we have been doing with reference to your material affairs, and very soon I am certain you will be relieved of your present troubles as John has written you. Pray and have faith in us, and you will find your condition of spirit and mind much bettered. As you know, I love you very much and want you to be happy and free from worries, and if I did not honestly believe that you will soon be, I would not tell you so. You have behind you a wonderful power working for your good, both spiritually and materially, and if you will only follow our advice you will find yourself much benefited. No matter how gloomy things may look to you, pray and try to have faith, and the gloom will not last till find its lodgment in your mind. I would like to write you a long letter tonight, but you are not just in condition to receive such a letter. So my dear son, think of what has been written, and make the endeavor to let your spiritual condition dominate your feelings and conditions that arise from your depressions and despondency of mind. You can do it if you will pursue the way suggested to you, and happiness will come to you. I will not write more now, but with all my love say, pray and believe and trust in 593, what we tell you. May this love of the Father flow into your heart in greater and greater abundance until all worry shall leave you. Good night. Your loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. I am here, your own true and loving Helen Weld. Dear, I am glad that John and your grandmother wrote you as they have tonight, for if you will meditate on what they said you will derive much benefit and realize that your troubles are natural, notwithstanding the fact that you are embarrassed by certain material affairs that I know will soon disappear, and existed only on things of the past. I have been so anxious that you get out of the condition of despondency that has been yours for several days past and see only the real condition of your soul qualities. You must not worry about these things, for while they are very depressing, yet you will be relieved and the sun will shine again. You and Nita will both be provided for, and you must not worry. I should like to write my letter tonight, but you are not just in condition to receive it, and when I write I want to do it successfully so that you may get as much happiness out of my love dictations as possible. Keep up your courage and pray. This is the greatest source of help. For when you pray, you bring to you the Father's love, which is the great thing that mortals not only require but which will make them happier than can anything else make them. I love you with all my heart and soul and so want you to be happy, and am doing everything possible to make you so.